I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and because of that belief and the fellowship and the friendship and the accountability of this group of what I call oversharing rebels, I am finding some victory over alcoholism, and my name is Jack. Hi there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. Genesis 1, 1 through 4, pretty familiar. Well, tonight is our Genesis, at least from a teaching perspective, as we start anew, as we begin again our teaching series. And so if you're here for the first time, you have picked the ideal night to show up because you're in at the ground level, no review or homework or study required at, you know, to catch up. You're here, you're now, you're present. And by the way, if it is your first time here, I want to say welcome. It is awesome that you're here. And even if you're not really sure why, if you're like me, when I came in these doors the first time, I didn't quite know why. So if you're not sure why you're here, that's okay, because God does know why you're here. And you're supposed to be here. In fact, we're all supposed to be right here, right now. And so if you are here new for the first time, welcome. For you old-timers, for you folks that have been around for a while, I'd like to encourage you, I'd like to challenge you to take this new beginning and put newness into it. Put newness into your recovery. In other words, treat the teaching series and the rebirth of this teaching series as you would look at the scriptures. Let's say, many of you get into the scriptures at some level of frequency, and oftentimes when you go there, you're going to places you've been before. You read things you've read before. Some things you read you even have memorized, and yet you go back and you look at them. And invariably, there will be new meanings that pop out to you as you take a look at this timeless Word of God. And so I want you to kind of take that attitude as we begin again in the teaching series. And you know, that happened to me actually as I was preparing for the lesson, and I was looking at Genesis 1. I mean, if you talk about a section of the Bible that probably almost anybody you run into, secular, religious, you know, foreign or domestic, whatever, things like in the beginning, and God said, "Let there be light," you know, those things are pretty well known out there. And yet when I read through this in preparation for the lesson, newness came upon me as I had never realized before how soon light makes it on the scene in the scriptures. How it's talked about right at the very beginning of the beginning. And right after that, God deems the light good. And right after that, He separates it from the darkness. And I thought, well, what a perfect metaphor for Celebrate Recovery, because that's what we do. We celebrate the light. We celebrate the good light of truth, of love, of wisdom, of Christ, and we separate our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups. We separate that darkness in our lives. And so just an example of just looking at something that's very familiar and me seeing it with new eyes. So 2 weeks ago, when we did our last teaching, David taught on peanut butter, if you recall. And so, of course, I thought I'd follow up tonight with jelly, just to make it a complete package. And I want you to work with me here, just a little bit, work with me. So for those of you that weren't here, just to review, David, of course, didn't teach on peanut butter. He taught on getting stuck, but he used peanut butter as an analogy for that. And so he shared with us a story from his high school days where his coach in the fourth quarter of the basketball games would call peanut butter as the play. And this was I want you to slow the play down considerably. I want you to be very deliberate. I want you to control the ball. I want you to take the other team off their game. I want you to get them thinking that they're almost as if they're playing basketball in a court that's maybe, I don't know, 6, 8, 12 inches deep in peanut butter, and how difficult that would be, how slow that would be, how sticky that would be, and how that would take you off your game. And he used that analogy to kind of talk about how we will get stuck in the peanut butter at times in our recovery process. Or perhaps if you're new, you may be stuck in a lifestyle, a way of life that you're not happy with, a way that's not healthy, a way that's not what God intended for you. So he used that analogy, and I got to thinking about that as I was prepping for the lesson and making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I noticed that on my jelly bread, because I think we all know it's a sin if you put the jelly on top of the peanut butter, it must go on another slice of bread, and then the peanut butter goes here, and the two go together only at the point of sandwich dumb, okay? So I'm glad we're all clear on that. So anyway, I'm looking at my jelly bread, and I notice there's more jelly on there than the peanut butter bread. And that's just practical for me because I need that to happen. If I don't have the jelly, I can't get the peanut butter down. You know, it would take me an hour to eat the sandwich, okay? And if you've ever done it, if you've ever taken a big spoonful of peanut butter and eaten that, I mean, it takes a while for you to work that out of your mouth and, you know, not choke and be able to speak clearly. It takes a while to do that. But you add a little jelly or jam, or for you thrill seekers, honey, okay, whatever. It's something to make that peanut butter go down easier, quicker. Well, I thought about how that works in with denial, and I thought, you know what, denial is the jelly that makes the peanut butter of stuckness go down easier. It helps us stay stuck and be okay with it, okay? So think about that, denial is the jelly to being stuck in the peanut butter. I don't drink any more than my friends do jelly. I can quit anytime I want to. That's jelly. Hey, it's legal now, so it must be okay. Jelly, jelly, jelly. Okay? So that's what I mean by it. Just kind of makes that a little bit easier for us to stay stuck. So let's get right into the lesson tonight. Starting, we got our guiding principle, principle one, which is realize I am not God, that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that my life is unmanageable. Scripture that goes with that, Matthew 5:3, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. And I would add to that my own Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Both those scriptures kind of talking about getting familiar with where we are in the hierarchy of the universe and getting to know that we're not God. And once we get that, then we can gain some wisdom. We can grow. We can begin to recover. Step one. We admitted that we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. One of my favorite pieces of scripture, in fact, it's in my testimony, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but cannot carry it out. Romans 7:18. Beautiful way of kind of expressing the frustration that we feel as we're stuck in those hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So what is denial? And of course, the answer to that is a river in Egypt. Okay, I had to do that. Sorry. Just had to get that off my chest. My daughter's eyes, I'm sure, are rolling at home when she said it. Never gets tiresome, does that? A good old denial joke. What is denial? I was watching recently Monty Python's Holy Grail. Perhaps you've seen this. And so perhaps if I said something like, it's just a flesh wound, that might ring true or familiar to some of you. For those that haven't seen it, it's King Arthur. And so I just thought, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking denial. Now that's how sick it is when you start, you know, getting to teaching. Because you see in this particular scene, King Arthur's coming up on his horse. And of course, that's denial right there because it's just a bunch of guys slapping coconuts together to make the sound of horse hoofs. So we're in denial already. Then he encounters the Black Knight. Black Knight's going to let him pass and they get into a sword fight. And in the sword fight, Arthur starts to taking off some of his limbs. I was going to show the clip, but I thought, well, if we're squeamish about fake blood, maybe not do that. But just kind of picture that. And so and I think it's after he's lost both of his arms is when he utters that famous line, it's just a flesh wound, as both of his arms are lying there. Of course, the scene goes on, and it ends up with him just being a head and a torso. And I think, once again, to finish off the denial, he says something like, okay, we'll call it a draw. Okay, I love that. So maybe that's denial. Let me give you a little more sobering definition, perhaps, though. Denial is a false system of beliefs that are not based in reality or a self-protecting behavior that keeps us from honestly facing the truth. That's pretty good. And so what I want to do as we move into the acrostic is just kind of flesh out or dive into what denial is, what it looks like, some things that I've experienced as I've been in denial, and kind of get our guard up as we go down this journey. So we'll begin in the acrostic with D, which is for disables our feelings. And the scripture we have for that is, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For a man is a slave of anything that has conquered him. And I love that verbiage, slaves of destructive habits. That's kind of why we're here, isn't it? Either we were, or we still are, we're still working on that, being slaves of destructive habits. Disabling your feelings. This is a transformation information kind of thing as far as I'm concerned. Recovery should be like faith in that it transforms you. It's not just information. If you've ever wondered why Celebrate Recovery is not 30 minutes of teaching and then we go away for the week, it's small groups. That's transformational. It's step studies. That's transformational. It's worship. Those are all things aimed at our heart. So our heart level transformation is what we're after here. That comes from feelings. If we disable those feelings, we may get lots of information, but we're not affecting our heart to transform, to get transformation. As a drunk, I had no heart level conscience. I did not have a conscience. I knew the difference between right and wrong, so I had the head level, I had the knowledge, I had the information, but I did not live my life remotely even close to somebody who had in their heart a conscience. And I'll tell you, after 4.5 or so years of sobriety, it still freaks me out when my conscience comes on the scene. Okay, and the guys in my small group know this. I mean, I still will be able to snap into old Jack at any given moment. I'll be at the grocery store buying a bag of ice. And so, you buy the ice at the check stand and you go outside or you go over to the freezer and you pull the bag of ice out. Well, there's lots of other bags in there as well. And why don't I just grab another bag? Because all it is frozen water. It's just ice. I'll just grab a couple of bags even though I paid for one bag. Then my conscience comes in and says something stupid like, well, that would be stealing, Jack. I'm so angry. I'm actually ticked off that I feel cheated, that I can't cheat somebody. That's the depth of my brokenness. And so, but that's a heart level change. That never, ever happened before the heart had the transformation as I was disabling my feelings. E, energy lost, is what what we do for in the acrostic there. The scripture, he frees the prisoners. He lifts the burdens from their bent down. He frees the prisoners. He lifts the burdens from those bent down beneath their loads. There we go. Proverbs 146. I had no idea the burden that I was under as an addict. And let me tell you, being a drunk is super hard work, and I didn't find that out till after I got sober. I was just my life when I was there. I spent so much lost energy wasted on finding the next drink. How am I going to pay for the next drink? How am I going to hide that drink? How am I going to drink that drink when nobody's seeing that drink? How am I going to lie about having that drink? How am I going to lie to the person about the lie that I told this other person so that the two lies match up for the big lie? Every waking moment, all of that energy lost to this addiction, to this denial that I don't have a problem, I just got a scheduling issue or something like that. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups are energy suckers. Okay, they will just suck you right into the darkness. Okay, and just think how much energy it takes to do things in the dark versus the light. Simple example, pin the tail on a donkey. You've ever played that? Paper tail, paper donkey on the wall, walk over to the donkey, put the tail on the donkey. How much energy and time does that take when you are not blindfolded? 3 seconds. Blindfold somebody, they're all over the house. They're everywhere. It's chaos, okay? Time, energy lost in the darkness. So don't let that be on guard for that. And by the way, denial, you don't have to have all these things. You may just, one of these things if it pops out. So that's why we kind of, flesh these out a little bit. The N is for negates growth. Now we're taking a deceptively deceiving turn. I like to use that phraseology, deceptively deceiving. Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he rescued them. He led them from their darkness and shadow of death and snapped their chains. Psalm 107, 13 and 14. You see, negates growth is tricky because it doesn't mean you don't grow. And that's where we can kind of get sucked in. We will experience growth while in denial. We won't experience progress. At least that's the way I see it. So I separate that difference out. And the idea of change, it's like my dog on his leash. I've got one of those leashes where it goes out like 15 feet and then it stops. So from 0 to 15 feet, he's in denial that he's free. Okay? As soon as 15 feet comes, the chain is there and he's not free anymore. Okay, he's in reality. And I start reeling him in. I start negating that growth of freedom that he just experienced. When he's off the leash, that's progress. That's progress out the cul-de-sac, down the street, the neighbor's calling me, we have Quincy again, you know, kind of thing. Okay? So I look at that in my own life and I think about, and say that's where it's tricky because I would have periods of progress. I mean, how many times did I quit drinking when I was a drunk? Oh, gosh, many times. Lots of progress, lots of growth there. How many times did I experience recovery? Zero. So be careful that we don't confuse you don't confuse that progress with growth. And remember, one of the things you hear in recovery is progress, not perfection. You know, not growth, not perfection. I, for isolates us from God. Now we're getting into downright evil as far as denial is concerned. So let me read the scripture here. God is light. In him there is not darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sins. That's 1 John 1:5-7. So this goes right back to where we started in Genesis 1. Light, separating the light from the darkness. If you're isolated from God, you're isolated from that light. This we also see exhibited in, let's face it, that is the enemy's entire purpose. That's his plan, to separate us from God. We see that in Genesis 3 with the fall. And we see denial make its first appearance in human history. We see after their eyes are opened, they cover themselves because they realize they're naked. Well, naked was fine 5 seconds ago. Now they're in denial about their nakedness, about the created beauty that they have created in the image of God. Shame enters the picture for the first time as well there. And then we couple it with another denial, because what do? When they hear God walking in the garden, they go and hide. It sounds silly when we think about it. How many of us have hidden from God? And then we get to thinking about that. Can we do that? I don't think we can do that, you know, kind of thing. But we've tried, or I've tried. I'll say that. And so this is evil. Remember, the enemy has a plan, okay? Has one for me, has one for you. And isolating us from the Father is central to that plan. Thank God. God has a better plan, all right? A, alienates us from our relationships. So this is essentially the earthly version of the previous point. So he wants to isolate us from our Heavenly Father and alienate us from our earthly brothers and sisters. Scripture for alienates us from our relationships. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. That's Ephesians 4:25. You know, this plays right into, I think, one of the most common feelings that I can have and that I've heard others share. Things like, well, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just watching porn alone in a room. It's my body. It's my liver. I'll drink as much as I want. I'm not hurting you. You know, kind of thing. And that's a lie, of course. Those things do impact our relationships. Okay? I'll put it as I kind of see the bottom line. You cannot do recovery or Christianity without relationships. You cannot do recovery or Christianity without relationships. And the enemy knows that. Okay? So why is it that we see the very first act of the enemy is to separate? Okay? To destroy relationship. As you know, that's how he gets his plan moves forward. personally. The last 13 years of my drinking career, I either drank alone or with strangers 100% of the time. There was no relationship there. And of course, there was, you know, no recovery there either. So I think this is one that's perhaps really easy to kind of check in and take a look at what kind of relationships. Celebrate recovery, CR, could also, for me, be just as well put celebrate relationships, because that's what the power of this group is we are, by coming together, by coming into small groups, by interacting at Solid Rock afterward, we are just poking the enemy's plan of destroying our separation. So keep coming back, as they say. Finally, we get to L, which is lengthens the pain. We have God's promise here from Jeremiah 31 or 30:17, it looks like. I will give you back your health again and heal your wounds. So this is kind of bittersweet. The L is for lengthens the pain, because that's what happens if you stay in denial. Okay, the scripture is speaking to what happens if you break that cycle. There is healing, there is health if you break that cycle. But if you stay in the cycle, and the cycle is this: hurts, habits, hang-ups equal pain, equals denial, equals more pain, equals more denial, equals blah, 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 blah. Okay? So that lengthens the pain piece, kind of just takes and cycles us back in somewhere in the loop. We don't always have to start with D and work all the way through. It can take us back to isolating from God. It can take us back to shutting down our feelings. But it typically cycles us back somewhere in that progression that we just talked about. We've got to break that cycle. And then that promise, what was up there, that promise does come true. So, peanut butter and jelly, good for sandwiches, bad for basketball and recovery, okay? You can take that to the bank. In the beginning, God created light, and the light was good, and it was separated from the darkness. So as we begin this teaching series in our look at denial, I challenge the old-timers, as I call us, to look for the newness. I encourage the newcomers, the first-timers, to seek out that good light. Actually, every encourage or challenge all of us to seek out that good light by enabling our feelings, by getting them into the game, so that our heart can be transformed, or at least begin to start that transformation process. Information is great. It just is to be used as an aid for that transformation at the heart level. I challenge and encourage you to throw off the burdens of the energy-sucking hurts, habits, and hang-ups that are in your life, or that rear their ugly head, to turn your growth, your spurts of growth, into progress, into real progress, and to let nothing stand between you and the relationship you have with your heavenly Father and your earthly brothers and sisters, so that you can break that cycle of hurts, habits, hang-ups, pain or denial, pain, so on and so forth. If you do this, you will break the cycle. And instead of being caught in that cycle, you're going to begin to take the first steps in celebrating your recovery once again. Or if you're new here, perhaps celebrating your recovery for the very first time. Thanks very much.